This is Indie Book Publishing. Indie Book Publishing is a show about new books and the authors who wrote them. It's an opportunity for prospective readers to hear directly from the writers, to hear what inspired them to write and publish, and to hear all the inside details about their books. And now, Indie Book Publishing with your host, Steve Jorgensen.
The title of the book, Claim Your Life. Transform your unwanted subconscious beliefs into an exhilarating source of power. And the author is Bonnie Owen. And Bonnie joins us now on Indie Book Publishing. This interview brought to you by Balboa Press. Hello, Bonnie.
Hello, Steve.
Great to have you with us. You're really going to help us catch a vision of hopefully who we really can become. We may not understand why we're struggling. We're kind of stuck in a rut. Let me read what you've written about Claim Your Life. You say this: it really takes you step by step through the process of creating what you want in your life, even if you don't know what you want. Every step of the way, you have examples as well as fill in the blanks, and at the end of a book, there are even more real-life stories to help you. So this is a workbook, really going to get the readers to think about their own situations, give them great examples and models. But first of all, before we talk about the principles of this book, the help of this book, Bonnie, tell us about yourself and how this all came about.
Well, it started about 30 years ago. And I was unhappy, and I didn't know why some people had things, and I didn't. I didn't know why some people were happy all the time, and I wasn't. And so I started with everything that was on the market at the time, the Silva Mind Control, everything that I could find that would answer those questions for me. And I just continued and continued, and luckily I had a lot of people that were willing to let me practice on them. So when I would learn something, I would practice on them. And then I would see if it worked or if it didn't work. And if it worked for everyone, then I added it to my, what I call my bag of tricks. If it didn't, then I had to ask, why didn't it work for them? And then I would adjust it or try to find something different or a way. And that just kept me going. This just kept me going. And more things came on the market. Now, there were a lot of things at the time that were wonderful, and they still apply today. There's a lot of nuggets that were out there then that really are into a lot of the things today. The difference is they put it into a perspective that we can relate to in today's market.
Bonnie, why is it important to know where you are at a certain time in your life, like right now, like the present? Why is it important?
Oh, it's so important to know where you are, because how would you know what your next step needs to be? Okay? Just for an example, if you were in a room and you were trying to get to the door and you didn't know if you were facing the door or not, how would you know if you needed to take a step forward or to go to the right or go to the left? You would have no idea. And the same thing is true in your life. If you don't know where you are right now, how could you possibly know the next step to take?
I mean, it sounds rather simple question, but at the same time, why is it so hard for people to admit where they are at that present time in their life?
Shame and guilt. Shame and guilt are our two worst enemies. We're ashamed of what we've done in the past, and we feel guilty because we feel other people think we should have done things differently. And because of that, we try to push it down or repress it and try to pretend it's not there. And that causes us problems, because now we're out of our truth and we cannot make decisions when you're out of your truth.
Another great aspect of this, as you teach, so important to know not only where you're at, but what you want.
What I have found in 30 years of working with people is most people don't know what they want. So I use that. I say, great, you don't know what you want.
Well, most people might say, I want money. You know, I want money.
Right. For what end?
Yeah, there you go.
You see, it's not an end result. It's a process to get something. And people get stuck in that process well, if I want a new car, well, then I have to take a second job and earn enough money. And, you know, they get stuck in that process. And now all of a sudden they're tired. They're forgetting the excitement of having the new car. Well, there's a lot of other ways to get a new car other than getting a second job.
What's the best way for someone to know what they want?
Take what they don't want, or what's not working in their life, or what's not quite perfect yet, and look at the opposite of that. And that gives them a good place to start. And you can also, if people are aware enough to know what brings them joy, then that would be perfect also. And the other thing that I use in the book is the values. Figure out what your values are. Are your values for freedom, for choices? What are your values? And go with that. And then associate what you associate that with. So if you associate freedom with a red convertible, well, then go for the red convertible. Okay, you're really after the freedom, and it may show up in 10 different ways. And you may get the red convertible.
Visualization, help us understand this concept.
Okay, the way our minds work, that's why everybody loves television, because it's visual, right? I mean, all the information that is gathered through our eyes go directly into our brains. There's nothing between it. Okay? So that's the most impact we can have on changing our subconscious mind or getting those pictures in exactly how we want it. Now, you do have to add the emotion to it, too. That's why movies do it so well, right? They can get you into the picture. So if you are visualizing what you want and you're adding a value to it in the form of a feeling and in the form of an emotion, what's going to happen is your mind, your system is going to say, oh, this is what she wants. This is what they want in their life. Oh, okay, well, we can do that for them. So it's very, very important. You get the color, you get the detail, all your senses, because that's how the system works.
Literally anybody can do this.
Anyone can do this. And there's people that say, oh, I can't visualize. Well, just look at something. If it's a plant or a tree or something in your house, and look at it and then close your eyes. Look at it and close your eyes. Look at it and close your eyes. Now keep your eyes closed. Can you still see it? Yes. That's why vision boards work well. You're actually putting it out there. You're not having to try to imagine it. You're actually taking something you've already seen and expanding on that.
And then, as you put it, listen to your inner guidance. What's this inner guidance?
Your inner guidance, some people call it intuition, they call it different things, but what it is it's your subconscious directing you. And sometimes it's deeper than that. Sometimes it's your inner soul trying to get your attention. But your inner guidance is whenever you're going down the street, and all of a sudden you know that you're to turn into the store, okay? Listen to it. Do it. Go in there. You don't know what it is, or if you're going to meet somebody, or if there's something in there for you, or whatever it is. You don't know. And that's why most people talk themselves out of it. They go, oh, I don't have time now. Oh, you know, even though I knew I was supposed to do that, but I didn't do it. And then they get to the corner and they had to wait anyhow. Or the person in the store that they were supposed to meet, they didn't get to meet. You really have to start listening to your inner self, because that's the part that you're trying to get in touch with. Okay, your subconscious is running everything all the time anyhow. Now you're trying to make this communication with it, and the only way you can, in order for you to hold on to that, is for you to listen to it and start doing it. Because then it says, okay, she's listening to me. All right, let's go.
So
now we can help her.
So you're literally training your subconscious for what you want.
You're really training your conscious mind to listen to what's in your subconscious mind.
Ah.
And then you're training your subconscious mind, because once you know what's there, right, you can change it to what you want. Oh, I see. It thinks that I want this. No, that's not what I wanted. Okay. Well, now I can change it.
Kind of an exciting journey. Because you never know what's going to show up.
Exactly. It's very exciting. It's very exciting.
But we have to make corrections. How do we do that?
Well, you have to stay aware, again, by listening and seeing what's going on. And you're making the corrections because, say, you wanted to put it out there that you wanted this new red convertible, right? And a Volkswagen Bug that was falling apart shows up, right? You go, okay, you know, that's not exactly what I wanted. So you have to make clearer distinctions and corrections as you go along. Relationships are a perfect one. You know, most people get that, I really want a relationship, and they're so vague about it that a relationship shows up, and they go, well, no, you know, that's not what I wanted. I want somebody that had a job, and I want somebody, you know, that'll be nurturing to me, and I want somebody that'll listen to me. And it's like, well, you didn't say that to start with, right, you know? So you're always making corrections. That's just who we are. We wouldn't be on the moon and have done all the things we have if we weren't making corrections all the time. Look at the computers. If we weren't making corrections on computers, we'd still be working with mainframes.
Yes, it's a good thing they have that delete, you know, button on the keyboard. Okay, so take us to the limit. Now, there's some issues that people just want to scream. Can this be can this kind of a method address those as well?
Oh, exactly. Because when you want to scream or your anger's up or whatever that is, you're ready to let go and change what has been occurring to you. And absolutely, there's a series of questions in the book that you go through to find out what's underneath that, okay? Because all the places that anger is to cover up an old pain that you either don't want to refeel or you just don't want to deal with, okay? You don't want to feel that pain again. You don't want to have to deal with whatever the belief system is about that. You don't want to have to make your mother wrong, your father wrong, your grandparents, whoever it was that told you that belief to start with. And so you keep covering it up until you have put this, what I call the anger button, on top, so that nobody comes near. Nobody touches that button so that you don't have to go down and look at that. Now, a lot of times you don't have to look at it. It'll come up and be revealed to you if, through the process of the book, you stay on your course with what you want and hold that. Anything between you and it has to come up. That's just how we're made.
Tell us about this workbook aspect of Claim Your Life, your book, Claim Your Life.
Well, a lot of people don't know what they want. They don't know where they are. And so just because of those two things, they will not ever get where they want to go, and they won't even know how to start. So the whole workbook is about getting you started, knowing where you're at, knowing what you like, knowing what brings you joy, going into what do you want, and through the process of what do you don't want, and what are some things in your life that you do like, to kind of give you an idea of other things that you'd like to have in your life, then that sets you up for what do you want. Now, as you're focusing and visualizing, and there's steps to do all of that in there, what comes up for you, like I said, is anything between you and it. And that will be the things that you've either repressed or at age 7 and under were your default programmings. You know, if you want this, you can't have it unless your sister has it. If you want that, you can't have it unless everyone has it. Whatever the subconscious or the programming is at home that you were told, whether it was true or not, you can't have that because you don't deserve it. Where in truth, you can't have it because they couldn't afford to give it to you. You see? All that starts coming up, and what it does is it allows you to look at it and then re-choose. Oh, do I want to live my life that way or not? You see? And then you start getting the things that you want in your life, and you start getting the happiness and the relationships, and you get the job, and you get the boss, and you get all the wonderful things that you want. And after a while, you start looking forward to putting things out there so that you can see if there's anything else there, because now you can't live in unhappiness. Most people stay in unhappiness because they think that if they jump out of the frying pan, they'll end up in the fire, right? And that's not true. What's true is you'll have more and more wonderful days, and there'll be very few days that you'll be in the fire. And that will only be because you're going deeper. And you're getting more out of life. Your life is just richer, and you can come from your passion, and you can share your passion with others. And that's what we're here for.
What a great hope. What a great hope, Bonnie. Fantastic.
I am proof of it. I came from a very bad experience in life, as far as I'm concerned. I think we're all damaged, you know, to some degree whenever we're growing
up.
My life is totally different, and my whole attitude towards life and my passion for life is totally different than what it was growing up. And I had what I would call average American families, you know, school teacher parents, and, you know, they didn't set out to try to damage me. But because of their beliefs and their fears, that's what created my belief that everything was in other people's hands, and I didn't have any control of my life. And that is so untrue.
We've been listening to Bonnie Ohyen. She is the author of her book, Claim Your Life, Transform Your Unwanted Subconscious Beliefs into an Exhilarating Source of Power. Bonnie, tell us how to get your book.
Well, you can go to Balboa Press. You can go to claimyourlifewithbonnie.com, and I'll sign it and send it to you. You can go to Amazon and Barnes & Noble, and they have them as e-books as well as books. You can get them anywhere.
Well, thank you so much for being on Indie Book Publishing.
Well, thank you for having me. I really enjoyed it, Steve.
And this interview has been brought to everyone by Balboa Press.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing. And we'll be right back after these messages. Get ready to live La Bella Vita with Dawn Catherine on TogiNet.com. Live La Bella Vita. If you're wanting to know all the beauty tricks of the trade and the latest fashion trends before everyone else, this is your show. If you admire celebrities' beauty and their fashion sense, this is your show. Do you love wine and want to know more about the process it takes to make wine from the vine to the bottle? This is your show. Live La Bella Vita. For more on the show and your host, check out our website, labellavitacosmetico.com. This is the kind of show you can sink your teeth into. If you enjoy traveling and food and family, all with an Italian flair, then you can live La Bella Vita with your host, Dawn Catherine. Wednesday nights at midnight, 11 p.m. Central, on TogiNet.com. Mark Lipinski is coming to TogiNet. It's Creative Mojo with Mark Lipinski, a live two-hour show Wednesday afternoon starting at 3, 2 Central on TogiNet.com. Creative Mojo. It's fun, entertaining, informative, inspirational, and illuminating. Lipinski has worked on such shows as Oprah, The View, The Joan Rivers Show, and Ricky Lake. He's busy, but he's got the drive to share with Creative Mojo, dedicated to the modern crafter and crafting lifestyle. Dive into the info and enjoy everything from celebs to entertainment news to recipes, quilting and needlework, knitting, painting, woodworking, Christmas crafts, and so much more. This show boldly encourages you to discover and harness your own creative spirit by living creatively every day. For more on Mark and the show, check out marklipinski.com. Don't miss the fun. It's Creative Mojo with Mark Lipinski, Wednesday afternoon starting at 3, 2 Central on toginet.com. Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world. Now, back to your host, Steve Jorgensen.
The title of the book, Bible Appreciation for Catholics. Learn the Bible, Love the Bible, Live the Bible. And the author is Patrick Murray. And Patrick joins us now on Indie Book Publishing. This interview brought to you by Westbow Press. Hello, Patrick.
Hi, Steve. How are you this morning?
Well, great to have you with us. A very interesting approach to learning the Bible, and we'll get into those details in a moment. But let me read what you have written about your book, Bible Appreciation for Catholics. You say, like a college course in music appreciation or art appreciation, you don't dig down to study and learn minute details of the course. Bible appreciation, a fascinating trip to coming to a real understanding of the Bible and a desire to read it, learn it, and love it. Well, that is an interesting approach because most of seems like different kinds of Bible study. It usually is the focus on study. Yours is on appreciation, really, to, I guess, light a fire in us, Catholics and others, wouldn't you say?
Exactly. Because I found out that people can be very intimidated, I guess you might say, because they open this thing up. One, it's a very big book.
Yes.
And then they get into it, and it's, they can get lost very easily. And that, you know, that can make people, you know, close it and say, oh, no, it's too hard to read. It's too hard to understand, or something to that effect, you know. So I taught informally Bible in the various churches where I had participated in, and it was always a thing of it's just too hard. So that's how I came into the appreciation thing. When I was in a Catholic seminary for 12 years, and one of the monks, a Benedictine monk, who was the choir master, one year had a semester of music appreciation, and it was fantastic. We got into all, you know, all of the early primitive music, middle age music, and then the Renaissance, and then all the famous Mozarts and Beethovens, and it was just fantastic. And it wasn't, you know, there was nothing boring about it. And so, hey, I wonder if I can do the same thing with the Bible. And that's what the book did.
Create a real, I guess, not only an interest, but actually where they could get excited about it in an introductory way.
Yes, that's what that was one of my goals in trying to write it in a way, in that sort of way, exactly.
Learn the Bible, love the Bible, live the Bible. Explain this more fully, please.
Okay. Well, it's like falling in love in any kind of a situation. Before you meet somebody, get along with them for a while, you get to learn about them, and then hey, this might go a little bit deeper, you know, this relationship, and then you come into the phase of loving, and then yeah, all right, this is very intense. I want to be with this person and live with this person for the rest of my life. So that's kind of this three-step way towards love and living.
Well, that's a good
learning first, loving, and then living.
Great analogy. Why is the Catholic Bible different from the Protestant Bible?
Well, that's a very important question, because over the years, it's not so bad now. At least I'm not aware of it. Combatant it can be nowadays, but the Bibles don't have the exact same thing. The Catholic Bibles have seven more books from the Old Testament that the Protestant. I want to make a distinction: the traditional Catholic Bible and the traditional Protestant Bible. That's a big difference, okay? Because and since the 1950s or that thereabouts and up until now, there have been a tremendous cooperation among biblical scholars, exchanging ideas, working together. So it's changed quite a bit in the last 15 or 20 years. But the traditional Catholic Bible has seven books of that they put in their list of authentic books, whereas the Protestant Bible was based on the Hebrew Bible. Now, so they do not use these seven books. The seven books were written sometime between, 350 B.C. up until maybe about 150 B.C. The Hebrew Bible finished somewhere around, 450 B.C., which means that the Bible was closed off, the Hebrew Bible was closed off after the return of the Jewish people from exile in Babylon, and they were with Ezra and Nehemiah. And those are the last two books in the Hebrew Bible, and that's the Bible that the Protestants accepted back in the time of the Martin Luther and the Protestant Reformation. The latter books came from, in the history of the people, from the Jewish people, was they were just conquered time over years and years, and they took the people away from Jerusalem and the various parts of the country, and they spread them all around the neighboring countries. And after several hundred years, the Jewish people there, I mean, they spoke wherever they were and mostly learned to speak Greek or those other languages, and they could not speak or read Hebrew. So sometime around, perhaps around 200 years before Christ, they, in Egypt, they had, they translated the Hebrew Bible, and they put in seven extra books. And so so that is called, the Hebrew Bible is called the Hebrew Bible or the Palestine Canon. The canon is the term they use for the authentic books. And the Greek one was named the Alexandrine Canon. And so the Catholic, in the time of the Christians, after Jesus Christ and the church began to grow, they said, well, we need to get a Bible for our Christian brothers and sisters. So they took the Greek version, which everybody spoke, and that's what they used, and that's how the Catholic Church was Bible was built on the Alexandrine Greek Bible, and the Protestant was based on the Hebrew, the Palestine canon. So that's the difference between the two.
Now, you also talk about the lost Gospels.
I don't get into that. There are quite a large number of documents, books and things. The lost ones, this is something kind of like today. They have like the Gospel of Thomas, the Gospel of Mary Magdalene. There's quite a large number of documents. And the Catholic Church did not accept these. So they weren't really lost in that time. When they wanted to say, all right, what are really the very, very best and apparently, you know, approval from God, the revelation by the Holy Spirit, that it was a situation where they needed to get the something that was universal all the way around. And so a certain amount of books were listed, and a certain amount of books were says, well, let's put these aside because they, for one reason or other, they do not fit completely well with what, you know, the Christian community believed.
I see you also have some quizzes in your Bible. Tell us about those.
Yes. There are almost every chapter has a quiz of some kind, maybe five or six, seven questions about it, for two reasons. If the book is read in a group session, they could use these questions for a discussion, so that everybody could put in what were their thoughts about it and what they learned about it. Or it's if it's just for the person reading the book personally, it serves as kind of a reinforcement of what did they read about and learn in that particular chapter. And I think it's extremely very helpful. And of course, it has at the end of the book in an appendix, they have the answers if you want to be sure what the answer to the question was.
The holistic approach to the Bible is—have you been discussing that, or help us understand that?
Okay, by what I mean is holistic, of course, that's a word that kind of popular around here in the modern age. Holistic is the whole picture, so to speak. And so, by this, I say we must look into the Bible for what it is. One, yes, there are many, many books in the Bible, this says, but put together, and it's only one work of art. It starts out in creation way beyond, we don't know when God created the world in the Catholic view. And so the first 11 chapters of Genesis is what we call prehistory. It's before time. We don't know when exactly or where exactly. And so the historical aspect of the Bible begins with Abraham. And then it goes through all these periods, the periods of the patriarchs, and then the people in Egypt, Moses, say, bringing the people out of slavery, going through the desert, and all of the history of coming to the Holy Land, the Promised Land. And so the idea is to look at this as a whole, because it's a progression. It's all you can follow a chronological sequence of events where God shows his tremendous love for his people. And we look at, if we take a one overlook view of the holistic view, is the Bible starts with a prologue, and it gives some basic divine truths there. You know, God created things. God created man. Man has had his problems of rebelling against God, and God's tremendous love promises to send someone who will help them realize that mankind should try to follow God's will and not our own special free will. And so as it goes through, as I say, the prologue is those first 11 chapters of Genesis, all the way through the Old Testament, the New Testament, to the last book, the book of Revelations. It's kind of like an epilogue, because it has the same thing. Just as in the beginning, there was God. God was in control. God taking care of everything. And for those who find God's will, their lives will be more beautiful and more prosperous. So that's why I call it the holistic Bible. Don't just kind of look at it and take, here's a piece here, here's a piece there. It's a lot more than just simply a list of Bible stories.
We've been listening to Patrick Murray. He's the author of his book, Bible Appreciation for Catholics. Learn the Bible, love the Bible, live the Bible. Patrick, tell us how to get your book.
Okay, then. The book was published by Westbell Press. They're the people that put it all together and made one of my dreams come true. And right now, currently, you can get a book there from Westbell Press. And there's also on Amazon and also in Barnes & Noble. You can get the book in an e-book form, a Kindle, or if you have your Nook or Kindle or something and you prefer that kind of reading. Or you can get a soft cover version of it, or a hard copy, a hard cover version of it. So it's available, and I encourage everyone to take a look at it, because you can get a good feeling, look at the table of contents, get a little summation of what the book is about, and I think it will really captivate you if you take the effort.
Thank you, Patrick, for being with us on Indie Book Publishing.
Well, thank you very much. It was a pleasure, Steve.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing, and we'll be right back after these messages. Get ready to laugh along with This Little Parent Stayed Home with Ali Lopreet. Friday evenings at 6, 5 Central on TogiNet.com. This is a truly realistic, no-nonsense, tell-it-like-it-is method that will have you laughing and crying, surviving while struggling, and hammering away at the hardships as you travel through the greatest journey of your life. Get empowered by joining thousands of other parents who have also decided to take a leap of faith into a double career with longer hours and half the pay simply because of the love they have for their children. Together, we are rebuilding a new economy that will support us rather than enslave us. Never again will we have to choose between raising our children and earning to provide for them. It won't be easy, but it will be worth it. For more on Allie and her success, check out her website, OurMilkMoney.com. So come get empowered with This Little Parent Stayed Home with Allie Lopreet, Friday afternoons at 6, 5 Central on TogiNet.com.
People think I've made it. I'm popular. I seem happy all the time. I have great clothes and I'm involved in everything. But I have questions, doubts, and fears, just like every other teenager. That's why I'm glad for Teen Talk Radio, where it's all about choices.
Join us for Teen Talk Radio with Nicole Odell, Thursday nights at 10, 9 Central on TogiNet.com.
The choices we have to make that can alter the course of our lives. Life is too much pressure if we try to go it alone. I tune in to Teen Talk Radio with Nicole Odell every week to get reminded that I'm not alone. Nicole Odell is an expert on what happens in the lives of teenagers. Join her as she deals with topics like peer pressure, purity, drugs, alcohol, and many other things that might come up along the way. She writes books and speaks to people all over the place, but she says her favorite moments are when she can pull up a chair and chat with teens about what's important to us.
For more information on Nicole and her books, go to NicoleOdell.com. Then join us for Teen Talk Radio with Nicole Odell, Thursday nights at 10, 9 Central on TogiNet.com.
Teen Talk Radio, where it's all about choices.
Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world. Now, back to your host, Steve Jorgensen.
The title of the book, A New Science Worldview, A New Paradigm for Better Living and Working, and the author is Dorn Swerdlin, and Dorn joins us now on Indie Book Publishing, this interview brought to you by Balboa Press. Hello, Dorn.
Hello, Steve. How are you?
Well, great to have you with us. You're really going to stretch our minds, but that's important in this day of chaos and corruption and We need a new way to deal with all the problems. And you say, you know, there's a new science that will help us with that. And we're going to talk about quantum physics, folks. Okay. Just what you wanted to, you know, talk about. I mean, Dorn wants to talk about it, but here's what Dorn says about his book. Most don't realize that the Western world shares a worldview based on the science from centuries ago. It has become both outdated and incomplete. My book discusses an alternative worldview. If enough of us accept the new science worldview and change our beliefs and thinking based on this new view, we can create a peaceful and thriving world. No violence, no wars, no terrorism, no fear and respect and compassion for all. We all want that, that's for sure, Dorn. Before we get into some of the details, tell us about yourself, your background, and why you decided to write this book.
Okay, Steve. By profession, I'm an actuary, and I started about 33 years ago, I started an actuarial firm, and we administer retirement plans. And that's what I do for a living. Ever since my entire adult life, I've been interested in spirituality. And I probably could have named my book a little more accurate to put the word spirituality in it, because I've got a lot of that in the book. But so the reason I was into spirituality, reading a lot of books like that, and then a little bit later in life I started getting interested in science, and quantum theory was one of them, and there's several other new sciences that have come out in the past century or so, starting with Einstein back in the early 20th century. And I think some of these ideas really, if we understand them, we can change our own thinking away from the old paradigm that you mentioned what you read a minute ago. And the old paradigm is really causing us problems. Even though it's been very helpful in a lot of ways, it's caused a lot of problems.
Newtonian thinking. Give us some understanding of this. It's part of your first part of your book. You discussed Newtonian thinking.
Yeah, that's the first step to understand is that the worldview, and that's what you mentioned. The worldview that the Western world has at the now is based on 300 years ago science, which was Isaac Newton basically back in those days. And there were several different things that are part of Newtonian thinking. A couple of the most important, I think, are the fact that Newtonian science has nothing, that there's no spirituality, there's no consciousness. All of his science talks about how things move around are based only on outside forces, and that means that a human being is just another bundle of mass, just like a billiard ball or anything else. And quantum theory brings in consciousness into the picture, and that's one of the biggest things is that consciousness of it talks about the observer effect, whereas if depending on how you look at something or what you're looking for, you can actually come up with different manifestations. So it really makes a big difference. A second thing is that there's a basic fundamental idea of separateness in Newtonian thinking. Separateness meaning we're all separate, and humans are separate from the earth, and we're separate from other living things, and I go on about that, and that causes a lot of, in our society, a lot of us versus them, where I'm separate from you, I'm different from you, my ideas are right, you're wrong, and that causes all kinds of issues of war and hunger and greed and all sorts of things come out of that basic fundamental thinking.
Well, we see that in the news every day, don't we? All this division, all this competition for somebody else's territory or property or things.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just goes on and on. So so what is the new thinking? What is this new science?
Well, the new science says that we, if we understand that we, that consciousness, for example, that, you know, what we see and what we put our attention on actually affects things, you know, affects the outcomes of different things, then we can, you know, that kind of thinking, like I said, I'm repeating myself, but it changes the way we deal with others and the way we deal with our planet, and I think that's what I would call quantum thinking, there's several different aspects of it. I go into some other what I call new sciences, chaos theory. Would you like me to go into
some
of those?
Please, yes. Talk about the chaos theory.
Well, chaos theory. One of the biggest things that was learned out of when chaos theory came about was that you can start with a very simple formula, a very simple relationship, and if you repeat it over and over again, and it didn't really come about, it wasn't discovered until computers came along. So if you repeat something over and over again, only starting with a small, simple formula, you get all kind of complicated but orderly results. And one of the ideas of this concept is, in order to get to a higher order, you have to go through sort of a destruction of the existing order. Things have to break down before you can get into uncertainty, and uncertainty is where creativity comes. And you know, and looking at it from a world view, a world point of view, this is what's happening with, you know, our existing organizations that are greedy and hurting other people and hurting our planet. They have to break down in order to allow for a new world view and a new way of thinking.
So what we witness in the news where these governments are crumbling across the world, this nation is facing tremendous challenges, and maybe, you know, some of our systems are crumbling and may self-destruct. All this is good?
It's good only if better organizations and better structures emerge. But it's like, it doesn't have to be that way. I mean, it doesn't have to come out for the good. But if enough people are able to modify their own thinking and change their own thinking and have a better outlook about how they live their lives, then you get to a critical point. And I believe that after a critical point, and I don't know exactly where that would be, I've read that if 100 million people start to have these ideas, and that would be enough to just shift the whole world into a better place.
So critical mass, so to speak.
Yes, exactly.
Once you get that amount of energy moving in the same direction, you can't stop it.
That's right, and that's the way nature works. Which reminds me, one of my themes that I've mentioned a couple of times throughout my book is that if we could watch, and this is the biology part, if we could watch how life works. And I talk about how one of the chapters I talk about how our cells operate, you know, the cells in our body, and if we would learn with how they operate and operate our lives like that, it would be a much better world. And that's kind of a theme of mine, is that watch life and act like, you know, operate like life does, and everybody would be much better off.
Now, in Chapter 6, you talk about sunspots, pole reversal, a 26,000-year cycle. My goodness, this is this looks like important science here. Why did you put that in there?
Well, the reason I put that in there is that my conclusion is based on what I've read, and it's, you know, can be argued, obviously. A lot of the material in my book can be argued. The reason I brought in the 2012 scenario is that according to all these things that are going on, the energy that we are receiving from the sun and the galaxy, it's at a very special time, and it's a time whenever you have a big shift, like a smaller one would be the lunar cycle, or you know, a year where the Earth travels around the sun. When you're having a shift from one cycle to another, that's always a time where creativity can be its highest. So, in other words, we're in a place and a time where making changes is easier than it is at other times. And so, therefore, it's more likely that we can change the world.
And populations are feeling that kind of change?
I think so. I think they are. I'm not...
Well, there's a lot of change going on, that's for sure. Old systems,
yes.
Old institutions are failing. And like you pointed out earlier before we started recording, a lot of things are being exposed for what they really are. People being exposed, organizations being exposed.
Right. And it's not like it's just starting to happen. It's more like they're just becoming discovered and uncovered. And that is part of the process. Like I said, the existing paradigm and organizations have to crumble to make room for the new.
So, is from a science point of view, is this change coming about and kind of sweeping people into it because of this quantum physics scientific point of view, or is it? Is it still part of people having to make a choice? I mean, is it just part of this incredible cycle that we're in?
I think it's part of the incredible cycle, and I think there are more and more people that would agree with a lot of the things I put in the book. A few years ago, even just 5 or 6 years ago, I would talk about quantum theory, and like I said, people's eyes would glaze over. But as I get more into it, as I talk to more people, I'm seeing that more and more people are, and people that you wouldn't expect to be interested in this material, are. And I think it's growing fast, and that's why I'm optimistic about the critical mass. I think it is starting to really speed up in terms of people. Kind of waking up to these concepts.
And even, addressing the real spiritual nature of all this.
Yeah, and I think the spiritual nature is that consciousness brought in by quantum theory. My opinion is that pure consciousness is God, and I mentioned that in my book. I see that science has a pure consciousness in it, quantum theory does, and they call it the unified field, or they call it the unified field, and the scientists are trying to put that together in a formula. They haven't quite done that yet. They're like four basic forces, and the scientists have not been able to put all the forces together to make the unified force or the unified field. But I believe that is just another way to say God. Another way to describe the same phenomenon.
Well, as you say about A New Science Worldview, your book provides specific steps to help us transform our thinking and beliefs in accordance with the new worldview, this quantum thinking view. Well, Doran, tell us how to get your book, A New Science Worldview.
Well, you can get it on Amazon, and most of the bookstores would have it. It's on demand with the bookstores, so you'd have to go in and order it, and they can send you a copy. And I suppose people could mail me a check too, if that would be
sure.
that would be acceptable.
So they can learn about you from Balboa Press.
Balboa Press, yes.
Balboa Press, and of course, order on any of the online retail book outlets, or walk into a store, like you say, and just ask to order this book, A New Science Worldview, Dorn Swerdlin. Well, thank you so much, Dorn, for being with us on Indie Book Publishing.
Well, thank you, Steve. I enjoyed it.
And this interview has been brought to everyone by Balboa Press.
You've been listening to Indie Book Publishing with your host, Steve Jorgensen. Join us again next week at noon Eastern as Steve interviews another great author.